Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There has been discussion previously at this board, this council, regarding the timing of reimbursements. There have been concerns over reimbursements getting dragged out to the point where, as a point of order that, not point of order, whatever, Visit Pensacola has to have an operating line of credit in order to cash flow the work that they do on behalf of Escambia County, because the timing of getting the reimbursements is being dragged out.
So you remember this meeting from February, from about 6 weeks ago, where the Tourism Development Commission had their meeting and they had this conversation about the reimbursements to Visit Pensacola being not provided by the clerk in the comptroller's office, Pam Childers' office. And kind of the, you know, David Baer was, you know, talking the most, but, you know, you also had Darren Schaefer and the CEO for Visit. And basically the allegation was, Pam's not paying us. It's causing all kinds of problems. We're not getting our money back, so we're having to take out a loan in order to cover the bridging while we pay out for advertising contracts that we sign off on. And then we get reimbursed as we have. You know, they keep asking us for all these proof of performance and they keep asking us for things and we don't know what the things are and they won't work with us and they're being difficult. Okay. And I reported on it at the time. And what did I say at the time? John, do you remember my phrase?
No.
Don't bet against Pam. that was my phrase. I said, don't bet against Pam.
You're right.
And so what I did is I went and sat down with Pam for, golly, it was like an hour and a half. And I haven't really reported on this yet. I'll just be honest. I know Molly Barrows had sat down with Pam for a while. I know she was working on a story on this. And I was kind of waiting for Molly to do it because I was going to kind of see what she said and, you know, kind of work with her as well. Not in conjunction, but I was kind of honestly, you know, some things are like better newspaper stories and then I can talk about them after the fact. But here's my takeaway from sitting down and going through a lot of this stuff with Pam and her folks, Pam Childers, and, you know, looking at the visit. A lot of my friends are on visit. Friends are on the board. Nicole Stacey's a dear friend. I've known Darren as long as he's been here. My assessment is that the books are a bit of a hot mess at visit. And it's not that Pam is reluctant to pay. It's that they're just not submitting and doing the forms and the explanations and the justifications and the what was this meeting about and what did we do at this meeting. And like all of that's just not being done properly, not fully. And for perspective, the clerk's office handles like more than 200 different agency funding reimbursements every week and visits the one they're not paying. Like, is that because they're singling out Visit or is that because there are unique problems with the record keeping and the relationship and the providing of the details and the way the expenses are being done? And like the advertising one, because there had been some problems previously, they had moved to this, well, you know, you got to justify that the ad actually ran because we don't want to pay out money on an ad that might or might not run. And so they're waiting for the actual fact that it ran. And if, you know, if that means that you can't do the 6-month contract, well, you can't do the 6-month contract. Or if that means that you've got to do the 6-month contract for the ads, but then you got to wait to get reimbursed on the ads after they actually run. Well, that's, you got to bake that cost into the doing of the purchasing. And I know Mary, my boss, who also sits on the TDC board, had been concerned. Well, you know, if you're not paying these advertisers at their end, and then salespeople, because it's more than 60 days, aren't getting their money, well, they're going to stop working with us. Well, that was never happening. That's not how it went. That's a reasonable concern for Mary to have, but that's not actually what's happening. You know, the advertiser, the whole reason they had to get the bridge loan is because they were paying the ads, you know, in advance before they ran, which is not a great practice. And that's the point. And I don't want to get into all the because there's actually kind of a lot related to how all of this is working and the organizations that are handling the advertising around Visit. I mean, there's a lot of I have a lot of concerns. So, flash forward 6 weeks, Visit Pensacola board has a meeting and they decide to not renew Darren's contract. Darren's the CEO. And some of the reporting on this from Studio 850 and, of course, the press release that came out yesterday from Visit is that it's at least in part related to this. Darren's done a lot of good things as Sterling Gilliam, who's also a dear friend and, you know, as the executive director for the museum, but as the president or chairman of the board. You know, he's done a lot of good things, but also there's some stuff, you know, some problems. And, you know, they would not be making this sudden move if there had not been issues. And what did I say at the beginning? Don't bet against Pam. So it seems to me, based on a unanimous vote that the Visit board took to not renew Darren's contract, that if you had bet against Pam, you bet wrong. And I'll be honest, in talking with her, Pam did not want to make an issue out of this. She did not want this to be a big public spectacle because that's not good for anybody. They were really trying to work this out and get it all solved and get, because she can't spend money on things where she's not sure the work's been done, the expenditure is proper, and it's in compliance with state law. She doesn't have that option. She can't, well, it'll probably be okay. You know, that would be for her to fail her job of being the check and balance on the check, right? So it's not like she was being difficult, and her people, you know, I talked to them, they're very sincere, capable ladies. They just wanted to make sure the money of the public was being spent properly, and they had concerns, and the justification wasn't being done properly. Like I said, if you get 200 agencies, do it fine, and one can't do it properly, you know, is it the clerk's office's fault? So you want to understand what's going on with Visit and why the big change? Those are the pieces as I put them together. I still hope Molly does her story. I may do subsequent reporting on this as well, but that's what I've got to give you at the moment. Without a lot of details, I know, but I think that's what's really happening here. So, yeah, they're going to look for an interim, and then they're going to look for a full, you know, full time, and the time frame is short, but here we go. This is, again, my read is this is Visit's answer to the concerns around the reimbursement issue, and the way it had been framed at the TDC was, what the hell's wrong with Pam? And it sounds like to me with the TDC, after they've had meetings, and their people have had meetings with Pam, you know, their answer is, well, nothing's wrong with Pam. What the hell's wrong with us? Which is good. Good for an organization to find out things aren't going right, and let's fix it internally. Let's do that. Okay, good. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. Not seeing anything to slow you down this morning so far. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
John, you are the inspiration for this ad. Yeah. Well, the other day, you and I were talking, and you know, about Christina Leavenworth, who I advertise for all the time. And you asked me a question, which at first I thought was, that is a crazy question to ask. But then I thought about it. It's my fault. You literally asked me, does she help people buy houses? And I realized, oh my God, all I ever talk about is how she sells houses. And of course, a realtor. I mean, of course, a realtor buys houses. But if I don't say it, how would you know? Right. And that's the point. She absolutely will help you buy a house, help you buy, you know, a pre-owned. We don't really have a term, you know. We have new homes and then other homes. We don't really have a term for it like we have for cars, you know. Anyway, so a house that was already lived in by somebody else, she'll help you buy that. Or new homes, too. In fact, one of the things she talks about a lot, I think she's on Pep Talk today, is she talks about buying new homes. You know, you're building a home or you want to buy a home in the process of being built. She can work with the builder. They'll help you get good deals, you know, buy down points, closing costs, get, you know, some of the things you would normally have to pay extra for thrown in, and then make sure you get delivery in the end of what you want. But also, if you're buying a home from somebody else, she's really good at this. In fact, she helps people buy homes all the time. Sometimes even, I know one of my favorite stories, she helped a military family buy a home here, and she never met them until she gave them the key because they were in Japan and she was working on social media, like, you know, Skype and Facebook Live and stuff like that to get them their home, but never met them until she gave them the key. And yes, absolutely, because she knows what the market will bear, what the market won't bear, what you should and cannot ask for, and all of that stuff. Yes, because when you sell 209 homes, you also know how to buy homes and you know what goes on. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
Oh, apparently a lot of y'all are Full Metal Jacket fans, which is fun to find out. I mean, I know that was Raiders clip, but, you know. Apparently. I got, like, several different text threads going back and forth on we're sharing Full Metal Jacket quotes with each other. This is my rifle. This is my gun. Is 622 on News Radio 92.3. It's a duality man, sir. It's a Jungian thing. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Don't quote war me. I'm ready.
I'm not.
I'm ready.
I was just finishing it for you.
Oh, well, I wasn't saying you.
Oh, okay.
Never challenge Andrew in a quote war. He will always win.
No, I've learned that.
First rule, never go in against a McKay when quotes are on the line. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines.
Well,
David?
Good morning, gentlemen. A Republican congressman introducing legislation to rename the Palm Beach International Airport. Congressman Brian Mast unveiling legislation to rename that facility as the Donald J. Trump International Airport. Echoing a move made in the Florida legislature last month. Major League Baseball's new automated system for determining balls and strikes was put to the test on opening night Wednesday. It happened in the fourth inning of the Yankees-Giants game in San Francisco when shortstop Jose Calabero challenged a strike. The machine determined the umpire was right, and Calabero lost that appeal.
That was the only one all night?
That's it?
That's the only one I'm seeing, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be weird. I mean, because usually, well, I mean, if you get it wrong, you're done, but the other team didn't use theirs either, so.
Right.
Okay, interesting. By the way, I have to correct you.
Okay.
It was not opening night last night. Games held before opening day are fictitious creations of the Major League Baseball.
That's true.
Yeah. Marketing department.
Marketing and the people who don't actually understand baseball. Opening day is today, and there's no such thing as opening night. There's somebody stupidly scheduled a game before opening day, and that's how we're going to describe it officially on this radio station.
All right. I'll put it in my notes.
Yeah. Noted.
I'm just giving you a hard time. Opening day is today, which is why I'm wearing Cardinals gear and why John clearly is not a baseball fan.
Whoa. Now I.
What's the logo on your shirt?
No. I mean,
it's not that baseball. Texas Tech by chance?
Yeah.
Okay. I've said my say. David, you got more?
I could certainly have more if you want.
No, I didn't. I couldn't. I wasn't counting. I totally was not doing my job. Was that three?
I believe that was two. So your count is accurate. I'm a little short here. How about this one? President Trump calling for an extension of the federal government's warrantless spy powers. The president is seeking an 18-month extension of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which authorizes the government to spy on foreigners located outside the U.S. The president said that was needed for the war in Iran.
The FISA, fake Russia, steel dossier, all that nonsense. Now that he's president, he's eager. Okay.
That seems to be how it always works.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
I don't like it. I don't like it at times. And then I do like it when it's mine.
Yeah. There's so much. Somebody asked me yesterday, what's your opinion about the Pentagon excluding all the reporters? Well, I said it yesterday. They're dumb and crazy and un-American. I mean, I don't know what else you want me to say. They got told by a judge that they can't pick and choose based on viewpoint, so they said, fine, everybody out. Come on. Just do better. Seriously, do better. And then, anyway, so much stuff going on. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
I just want to tell you, Talisha didn't dress me this morning, so that's why I had to.
So you're not
she didn't pick
baseball
out my
fan
outfit.
Enough on your own. To come whoa, in whoa, opening whoa, day whoa. Gear. You got to have a St. Louis Cardinals
like
fan help you.
It's 3 in the morning when I get up, and so I'm not really comprehending life.
You were trying to make this better, though, right?
Yeah.
All right, go on.
Okay. All right, no accidents to report to you right now. Looks like everything is flowing smoothly. No slowdowns to report to you. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, somebody just says, texted in 437-1628. I love your sound bites. I listen in the morning and the afternoon. Both great programs. Thank you. Appreciate that. I do. I try to just be entertaining, you know, have some fun, make you laugh. Good. It's funny because people sometimes, the music, right? We play a lot of, music and like, what are you trying to have a music show? Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you want good music in the morning. You know, the problem is a lot of times you've got music shows that are kind of interrupted by talking more in the mornings. My wife is a big fan of music. She doesn't like the interruption from the talking. I have a talking show that we sometimes interrupt with music. Oh, so you can dance and sing and get some songs stuck in your head all day, And
if you get
a Bananarama stuck in your head today, that's fine. That's my fault. I'll take it. It's good. 437-1620. What else do we have going on? There was something. County Commission meeting today. County Commission meeting today. Both counties. In Santa Rosa County, the big topic is they're going to talk about the how to do the local option sales tax and to what degree to or how to fund land conservation. That's going to be very interesting because I kind of explained this last hour. But the short version is they want to spend more on land conservation. They do not want to spend less on roads, and they do not want to generate more revenue. And you cannot make all that be true. So I'm curious how they're going to solve this problem. We also have the Escambia County Commission today, which has got a whole bunch of stuff on that agenda that is going to be pretty interesting. A couple of things that they're going to be talking about is customary use. So that'll be a 4-hour conversation. Again, just schedule a special meeting and just do it and then get done with it. But I know we're going the way we're going. The possibility of, it's done, but, to ratify the payment of $250,000 to settle the DLR lawsuit, sort of to settle it, because there's still an ongoing appeal. But, yeah, that's part of it. That's over the building of the jail. Scheduling a joint meeting for the city over the Bay Center discussion for April 16th. That's going to happen. We got the kind of the bigger news that's been reported on this week, and we've talked about this yesterday a little bit. Day before? I don't know. remember anyway, was Chad Henderson and the Tri-W group wanting to back out of buying all of OLF 8 and, you know, ditch the economic development slice and let that stay with the county and reduce their purchase price by, was it $17 million, I think? So we'll see, you know, what happens with that. Oh, this is actually, this is news that I don't think anybody else is reporting on. As a talk show, I have kind of unique opportunities to report on things that not everybody else is always going to get to. And there is a speed reduction item for the county commission meeting. I'm trying to find it here in my list because it's you're going to actually want to know this. It's not big roads, but it is a significant number of roads. There's seven of them that are going to be reduced from 30 miles an hour to 25 miles an hour. The county is kind of in this process of residential and residential adjacent roads, you know. They're reducing speeds on those, putting in, God help us, speed tables on a lot of these. Anyway, the roads that are going to get reduced from 30 to 25 miles an hour are Another Way, that's literally the name of a road, Another Way, Caden Way, C-A-Y-D-E-N, Connie Way, Etta Street, E-T-T-A, Everson Avenue, Holly Street, Louise Avenue, Mildred Avenue, and Rosedown Drive and Devlin Way. Those are all going to be reduced. There's also going to be a, what was the other part of this? There was a, they're reducing the travel capacity, like the weight on one of the roads. I'm just trying to find it. I had it written down, and then I just, for whatever reason, I decided to cover a topic that I didn't have right in front of me, which was stupid. so anyway, there's that. Oh, also, they're going to study whether to put a traffic light in at Frank Reuter Road in Beulah, which I'm sure that's going to happen, and especially given the development with OLF8, that's coming in the future, but they're going to study that now. So for those of you who live in that vicinity, that's certainly, or drive through that area on the regular. 10 new EMS positions, 5 EMTs and 5 paramedics. And a MOU for street garage camera access for PPD.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Senate talks on a DHS funding deal stalling as Democrats and Republicans play the blame game for the chaos unfolding at airports across the country.
Democrats advocated chopping up the DHS funding bill for weeks, but Democrats blocked a GOP effort to do just that. Democrats deny the Republican accusation that they move the goalposts. However, some Republicans oppose their own option to fund some of DHS.
Fox's Chad Pergram. Jurors in the landmark social media trial finding Meta and YouTube harmed a young user's mental health with features that were designed to be addictive.
A Los Angeles jury awarding $6 million in total damages against Meta and Google's YouTube after finding the companies negligent for designing apps that harmed minors and failed to warn about the dangers.
Fox's Chanley Painter. YouTube and Meta plan to appeal. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 62. We've got cloudy skies. Full forecast up in just a few minutes. A 12-year-old student is in juvenile custody after stabbing three people at Walton Middle School Tuesday morning in what investigators say was a completely random attack. Walton County Sheriff Michael Adkinson says the suspect arrived at the school, changed into a mask in the bathroom, then stabbed two students and a paraprofessional before fleeing. And all that happened within about 45 seconds. That student was detained a few blocks away from the campus about 7 minutes after the attack began.
There's no relationship between the victims and the suspect. Unless something comes up past the end, as far as we understand, this is a completely random set of victims.
Adkinson says the suspect brought a kitchen-style knife from home. Two of the three victims, both students, remain in an intensive care unit. The paraprofessional has since been released from the hospital. The man killed when a fleeing driver ran a stop sign and slammed into his vehicle Tuesday has now been identified as a 48-year-old Pensacola man. PPD said an officer had attempted to stop a vehicle driven by a 31-year-old Pensacola woman. When she fled and struck the man's car at T and Avery Street, about 30 seconds later, the 31-year-old driver also suffered serious injuries, and her 29-year-old passenger is in critical condition. Both are in the hospital. Police say it's still unclear whether the officer was actively pursuing the vehicle at the time of the crash. Visit Pensacola. We'll be looking for new leadership. The board of directors voting Wednesday to not renew President and CEO Darren Schaefer's contract when it expires in September. Schaefer will stay on through the transition until an interim CEO is named. Well, concerns are surfacing over local TSA agents. News Radio's Chris Bryan says they're holding down the fort.
TSA agents at Pensacola International are still showing up for work unpaid, but officials say those dynamics could change fast. If the airport had to close because of TSA callouts, the city would lose about $750,000 a week. Mayor Reeves says there's been no word from the federal government about closing PNS. Still, federal officials warn that smaller airports could shut down if the staffing situation worsens. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.
After 6 years of leading Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, Executive Director Bruce Woody is heading for the door. Woody says his last day is coming up sometime at the end of May or around the 1st of June.
Yeah, I announced that to the board in January, so they've already begun the process. Advertising for my position is currently ongoing and closes April 15th, with the board hopeful that there are sufficient candidates to do some interviews in May.
And ECUA serves Escambia County customers with water, sewer, solid waste, and recycling services. It is 6:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a quick check on our forecast.
We are going to be looking at some nice sunny weather today, high near 76 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 81. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Looking at sunshine as you head into your Saturday, high near 77 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it's 62. Cloudy skies right now. Let's check in with John Pickens for a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 29. Everything is flowing smoothly so far. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. At 6:35, our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your Money Now. Oil prices are sharply higher by more than 3% as President Trump signals Iran peace negotiations, despite Tehran denying that discussions are taking place. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $93.21 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $106.17 per barrel. Representatives Ro Khanna and Tim Burchett will introduce a new bill to commission a nationwide waste, fraud, and abuse probe for state-administered programs using federal funds. The bill would task the Government Accountability Office with delivering an audit to Congress, identifying the highest risks to federal dollars. CNBC reports that Iran is preparing legislation that would impose tolls on ships passing through the Strait of Hormuz. Traffic in the waterway, a critical shipping route, has effectively come to a standstill since the U.S. and Israel's war with Iran began almost 4 weeks ago. Futures are moderately lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 305, the NASDAQ up 167, the S&P 500 up 35. That's your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Selling a home is personal, and it can feel overwhelming before you even know where to start. A lot of homeowners are told that if they question the cost of selling, it means they are cutting corners or taking risk. That simply isn't true. Wanting clarity and fairness doesn't make you cheap, it makes you thoughtful. I'm Miriam Rogers with Poppy Properties. I offer a full-service listing for only 1%, saving you thousands. And my easy exit agreement means you're never locked into a relationship that isn't working. you still get professional marketing, photography, negotiation, and guidance from contract to closing. What you get less of is pressure. What you keep more of is your equity. This isn't about doing less. It's about doing what's right for you, your situation, and your future. If you're thinking about selling and want to start with information instead of obligation and learn more about my 1% listing model, visit my website at forsalebymiriam.com. That's forsalebymiriam.com.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At Penair Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids. Rolaids dual active formula has calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. Yeah, you heard right. Two actives for that powerful relief. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
Just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Yourself in the place of one of those couple hundred Americans about to undertake this audacious raid on the Iwo Jima, looking at a lot of uncertainty in front of you. And this was the passage, and this was the pre-mission reading and the prayer that was read with them. First, a reading from the book of Psalms, chapter 18, verses 37 to 42. King David writes, "I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets."
So Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War, is having a kind of a prayer service at the Pentagon because, you know, we kind of have this tradition of thinking of ourselves as a nation of faith, you know, in God we trust, chaplaincy in the Department of War or the Department of Defense, depending on, you know, what period in history you're talking about. The idea of praying for winning or praying for our troops or praying for our country, these are all extremely common things. But his comments, which were not really his comments, is kind of interesting. He was, I gave you that introductory part because, A, he's just reading from Psalms mostly, you know. But he's reading from Psalms from a prayer commentary that was offered by a chaplain on the Iwo Jima during, and I don't know when this was done. I tried to find the original speech. I couldn't find the original speech. I could only find the 3-minute clip of it, so I apologize. But it wasn't even Pete Hegseth really saying it, although he's re-saying it, but it wasn't him originally who said it, is my understanding about all this. Okay, so what did he say in this prayer, quote of a prayer, that had gotten all these headlines yesterday? Well, let's listen.
And then he prayed this prayer, the chaplain. And we pray it with him this morning. Almighty God, who trains our hands for war and our fingers for battle, you who stirred the nations from
the— By the way, that's just a quote. That's a Bible quote, okay?
"You who stirred the nations from the north against Babylon of old, making her land a desolation where none dwell. Behold now the wicked who rise against your justice and the peace of the righteous. Snap the rod of the oppressor, frustrate the wicked plans, and break the teeth of the ungodly. By the blast of your anger, let the evil perish. Let their bulls go down to slaughter, for their day has come, the time of their punishment. Pour out your wrath upon those who plot vain things and blow them away like chaff before the wind.
Well, how dare he? What do you mean, how dare he pray a biblical prayer? Because that's all that is. That's all that is, okay? But again, he continues.
Grant this task force clear and righteous targets for violence. Surround them as a shield. Protect the innocent and blameless in their midst. Make their arrows like those of a skilled warrior who returns not empty-handed. Let every round find its mark against the enemies of righteousness and our great nation.
Now the chaplain and, you know, vicariously, Pete Hegseth are praying for bullets to be accurate. Well, yeah. You said, well, I mean, that doesn't sound like Jesus. Well, okay. Let's start with first principles. Do you think that a Christian can be involved in warfare? By the way, there's a historical debate around that, okay? Some have said no. The Amish have said no, okay? Pretty much the rest of Christendom has said yes, with limits under circumstances. As I've said many times, the rules of just warfare were created by Christians based on the limits that we believe that decency compels us to obey when we're conducting warfare. It's not that Christians can't conduct war, it's that we do it differently. Like so many things, it's not that you can't do it, it's that you do it differently. Better, with restraint, with ethics, and care for God's creation and the people that are made in God's image. And, I mean, okay. But look, if you can pull the trigger as a Christian, why can't you pray for the pulling of the trigger to be effective as a Christian? Should I say it again slower? People don't like the idea that the chaplain is praying for the bullets to find their mark. Why not? You know, I go on this radio show and I pray that I say good things that are effective, that are profitable, that advance the kingdom of heaven and edify the people who are listening. Of course, because I'm doing a thing that I think is right. So why wouldn't I pray for God's assistance to do that thing effectively? You go driving somewhere and you pray to be safe and effective in your driving, right? I mean, don't you? I mean, I don't. We do. Anything you do, if it's worth doing, should be something that you could pray for God to help you do it well. So why wouldn't you pray for God to make sure that your bullets kill the right people? You know, unless your position is we shouldn't be engaging in warfare ever. We shouldn't be killing people ever, which is not a biblical position to take, I don't think. I know it's, again, there's been this tradition of discussion, but I don't think that's a biblical position to take. It's the kind of position that people take when they have the luxury of living in a place filled with Christians who don't take that position, right? So, if you can have Christians participate in warfare, then Christians can pray for God to guide their warfare to be successful or to correct them if they've got it wrong, you know? I mean, all these things. You would think it's okay to pray to protect civilians from your bullets or your bombs? Isn't the corollary of that that you're not protecting everybody from the bombs? Then why would you drop them in the first place? Okay, he goes on. I just want you to think about, actually, John, oh, come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free along with delay-free, not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Pete Hegseth, who again is saying a prayer that was said by a chaplain on a warship prior to an engagement. He's not inventing this, but it got reported a lot as he was saying this for himself. And okay, fine. Go on.
Give them wisdom in every decision, endurance for the trial ahead, unbreakable unity, and overwhelming violence of action against those who deserve no mercy.
That's the last one is the one that got the headline. Overwhelming violence of action against those who deserve no mercy. He's a Christian and he thinks that some people deserve no mercy. I thought the gospel was all about how nobody deserves mercy. We get it nevertheless. And we don't want God to smite us the way we are now praying to successfully smite the Iranian IRGC or the terrorists or whomever. Well, that seems like Pete doesn't understand Christianity. Well, that's not what he said. But I will be honest, when I first read the headlines, I had a little bit of that reaction myself. I'm like, whoa, does Pete understand what mercy means? Because nobody deserves it. That's the definition of it, is mercy is unmerited favor, right? It's when you get something you do not deserve in the positive sense. Anyway, he's literally saying, or quoting the chaplain who was saying, and with good theology, that the whole idea of war is that we decide that some people under certain circumstances don't deserve our restraint, don't deserve our mercy. They deserve to die, and not just in the theological sense that all people deserve to die, but they deserve it in the sense that right now they're such a threat to other human beings and the stability of either the region or their people or of global peace or whatever the justification is, different warfare, different wars, that we've decided they deserve to die. That's the best way forward to promote the most peace, is that these particular people deserve to die. And so why wouldn't you pray, again, for overwhelming violence, decisive, clear, non-civilian, non-collateral damage violence against the people who don't deserve mercy in this particular war action?
An overwhelming violence of action against those who deserve no mercy.
Yeah. I mean, this is, it's funny that this gets reported as being controversial when it's just not. And I'll say, I think part of the problem is that you've got reporters who are covering the Pentagon, who are themselves not people of faith, who do not have very much grounding in matters of faith, do not understand theology, good doctrine, haven't read the Bible, don't go to church. And so they don't know this subject matter. Now, they're not religion reporters per se, so maybe you forgive them for being, you know, reporters on the Department of War. But the problem is endemic across journalism, that we'd have journalists who aren't people of faith and don't understand faith and don't understand the Bible and theology. Not usually, right? And so that's why I often tell you that when it comes to reporting on faith-related issues or Catholicism or Baptists or anything else, I mean, they get it wrong all the time. Because they're not those people. They don't speak that language. It's an alien thing to them, usually a thing studied like a foreign culture they don't like very much as an object of contempt and ridicule. And it comes across. And so this, like, faux outrage over Pete Hegseth having the audacity to repeat a prayer that's perfectly biblical, perfectly in line with the principles of God, at least as I understand them, and all he's saying is out loud the part that people of faith say in their prayers all the time when they're military-related folks— it's just suddenly a scandal.
Preserve their lives, sharpen their resolve, and let justice be executed swiftly and without remorse, that evil may be driven back and wicked souls delivered to the eternal damnation prepared for them.
Prepared for all of us, which we all deserve, unless God calls us into him through Christ. He's not saying something specific about them. He's just saying we're accelerating their trip, which is the logical conclusion involved in the premise of saying that some people are dangerous enough that we're going to kill them quicker than natural causes. We call that war. You know, or self-defense, depending on the circumstance. So, again, I understand that for the non-religious or the anti-religious, they hear this and think, oh, no. Or the people who just barely have enough constitutional understanding to be offended at what they perceive to be some establishment of religion in contravention of a lot of the things that I wish I could teach you in this short period of time I have on the radio today. They get this wrong and they get, you know, outraged and, oh, did you see? And I think the rest of us are like, oh, this is exactly the kind of person I want running the Department of War, is a person who thinks this way and says these things out loud. Now, this doesn't mean that you love Pete Hegseth or agree with everything that he says. You always got to evaluate individual things on individual terms. But as an individual exercise in, you know, leadership and speech, I mean, praise God that somebody is honoring the principles of faith in the prosecution of war. Because you know what the alternative is? The alternative is Vladimir Putin, who calls himself a Christian and sends drones to kill civilians and rockets and missile attacks to kill civilians in Kyiv and everywhere else routinely in the prosecution of a completely illegal, unjustified war of aggression. That's total hypocrisy. Or there's another group out there that they consider themselves religious. The Ayatollah, well, the ones that are still alive, you know, the right? And they're indiscriminately firing at everybody anywhere, specifically targeting civilians. They have been doing this for decades through their terrorist activities and their proxy terrorist activities. And they are threatening to put the entire region and the world under the threat of nuclear war. That is also a kind of faith, twisted, misguided, and disgusting. So the kind of faith matters. And I like the kind of faith that Pete's advocating for here.
For the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. We ask these things with bold confidence in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, King over all kings, and amen.
Somebody texts in 437-1620, just amen with two exclamation marks. Somebody here says he's praying to save the innocent and hit the mark. Who would disagree with that? Exactly. Somebody else texts in, the Bible has stories of war, many, many stories of war. David, Goliath, David, all kinds of war. All kinds of really atrocious things, too. You know, the Bible's a pretty honest document. Somebody says God destroyed the entire Egyptian army in the Red Sea with no mercy. After a protracted series of plagues designed to provoke them to repentance, which he knew was not going to work and did not work. I mean, you know, and then let my people go. And then, I mean, you know, there's just... And somebody else, I love this. Somebody sounds like some journalist wanted Pete to be the Secretary of Peace, not the Secretary of War. And you know what's funny? The Christian called us to be both. Advocates of peace, and when that's not possible, you know, what does the Bible say? Be at peace with your neighbors as much as possible, as in there's a limit. Anyway, 650. John, you're a man of faith.
I just wanted to say amen.
Okay, good. So... faux controversy number 484, primarily again, because you have people of faith not entering journalism and people in hiring journalists not hiring people of faith, either explicitly to cover religious topics or to cover other topics. Remember the whole bias story with the AP and the newsroom in D.C. and you had hundreds of people who voted liberal and like one who didn't, you know, and none of them devout Christians, and you say, well, Andrew, faith isn't supposed to... Okay, the First Amendment conversation we can have at a different time. If that's your answer, you don't understand it. I love you. I'm glad you're listening. Actually, UWF had a great Seligman lecture a couple weeks ago on First Amendment and speech. I have not shared that with you. I will. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow or next week, but that'll be worth the price of attendance, which, by the way, since it's radio, is free. 655 here on News Radio is 92.3. You're welcome. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. It's still rolling accident-free right now. Let's see here. I-10, I-110, 90-98 are all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
The Seligman lecture was also free. It's all free. Some of the best stuff is. Anyway, if you are if you're working on a home improvement project, a home repair, building things, either as a private individual or as a, like a trade, Pensacola Hardware is your place. 175 years. 175 years. That is so crazy. Older than Levi's, older than the Civil War. They've been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. And that means they know. Institutional knowledge, they have it. I mean, they have a warehouse of, you know how like your grandpa has all the tools that he's had his whole life and probably inherited from his great-grandpa? They have one of those kind of warehouses where it's like floor to ceiling, 12-foot ceilings, two stories full of 8,000 bins of old screws and bolts and connectors and fasteners, like that kind of thing. Plus, they have all the new stuff. So they have it. They know how to use it. They are your commercial construction supply business or your honey-do list solver. They know how to do it. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
This spring, you can share more than a meal. You can share hope. For as little as $2.75, you can provide a nourishing meal to a hungry neighbor, served with love and compassion, reflecting the love of Christ. A single meal opens the door to healing, recovery, employment, and housing, helping restore lives and renew hope throughout the year. Answer the call this season. Give hope today at waterfrontmission.org.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
What is your damage, Heather?
You know, I was thinking about this a little bit in the break, and I probably didn't say one thing that should have been said. When do you typically pray for the stuff you're doing? When it's the most important, right? So when you're getting ready to kill in war, that is absolutely the time to be praying, to make sure you do it such a serious thing wisely, with ethics, virtue, and love, and restraint, and effectiveness. I mean, you know, it's not that you shouldn't pray for when you're getting ready to kill. It's that you should, of all times, be praying at that exact moment. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. The White House blaming Democrats for the partial government shutdown. Senate Democrats Wednesday rejecting a Republican proposal to reopen the Department of Homeland Security with only partial funding for ICE. Democrats demanding more changes to ICE practices. The White House saying Republicans have already offered plenty of concessions.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Coming up, we'll hopefully have time to talk about the two rulings related to Meta and Facebook and their bad behavior. Also, Santa Rosa County taking up the interesting issue of land conservation funding today. And, well...
Listen on air at night.